This is a recording of the July 22nd, 2026 Governance Committee meeting to convene at 4 p.m. at the Chugach Electric Association boardroom.
Mark Wigan here.
Hi, Mark. Okay, well, we'll get started if you can follow along on the phone. We are waiting for a quorum here.
Yeah. Catherine, I'll be in there about 5 minutes.
Mark would make a quorum okay. Here, but
everyone is about 5 minutes away.
Okay, well, go ahead and get started. We now have quorum. We'll call the July 22nd Governance Committee meeting to order. In the room from the board, we have myself. On the committee, we have Director Morse, Director Gage. On the phone, we have Director Wigan. Not on the committee, but here joining us is Director Rogers. And then a roll call from the room, please.
In the room, we have Arthur Miller, Sherry Hires, Matt Clarkson, Andrew Laughlin, Brett Fearson, Al Rudick, Katie Millen, Mark Sonstein, Amy Haskett, Bernie Smith, Nick Schmaniak, and Whitney Wilkson. Online, we have Sandra Casey, Mitch Roth, and Amanda Mangle.
Thank you. I'll look for approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Hearing no opposed. Thank you. That passes. Approval of the minutes is next from the April 15th meeting.
So moved.
I will second and abstain from voting since I was not on the board in April.
Sounds great. All in favor of approval of the minutes?
Aye.
Aye. Approval of the minutes passes. I believe Mark is still on the phone. Any unfinished? Oh, it looks like we persons to be heard here. Let the record show Director Wigan joined us in the room. Are there any persons to be heard? Bernie, come on up.
Good afternoon, all. For the record, my name is Bernie Smith. First, I'd like to give an update on the MAC meeting. Yesterday, we had a discussion on why the membership fees didn't pass. One was it takes a two-thirds vote to pass. The vote was 59% for and 40% no, which is a good vote, but not two-thirds. Some of the thoughts from the MAC people, they just didn't, just that people just did not want to see any anything that would increase their electric rates, whether they just didn't read it right, but that's what they thought. The language in the amendment was not quite clear. It was that it was on that it was for only new members would see the increase in costs and no cost to the existing members. It might help if some of somewhere in the language, it was stated that it was $5. Have been in place since I think 1946 or 48. And then if you just had inflation, it would be around $67 or so. There is also a discussion that the board members would give some thoughts that the, okay. So there were board members there last night, and maybe they have some more thoughts and could elaborate more on it. The board members that were there were, of course, Catherine, Mark, and Dan. And I personally want to thank them for being there at the MAC meeting. It's very important to have our members see that the board members are also very, very interested. We had a great presentation from staff on the breakdown of our electric bills. That is basically only 25% of it is related to natural gas versus NSTARS will be probably about 80%. We also had in-depth presentation on EV fast chargers and how Chugach was installing them and paying for them. We also had our CEO, Mark and Dan, give to the MAC an update on the natural gas supply the best they could involving their NDAs. How Chugach has been actually working on this since Hillcorp first made their announcement of ending firm contracts, which was a while back. And at least, but also They did state that QGIS has been talking to NSTAR in Golden Valley on offering them help for the critical for their critical situation and storage of natural gas, a shortage of natural gas that will happen this winter. And I would also like to thank Julie and Emily for their working with the MAC committee. Emily did a great job of with the slides up there because we changed our agenda quite often. And Julie has also made copies for the people, our people. So they do a great job, and I really appreciate that. We had a great meeting with a great people attending, a great number. We had a full house, and so that's things with our MAC committee. Since y'all are involved, the governance committee is part of the MAC committee or oversees it. And sorry, Penny, if you missed it, we talked about you. But it was a great meeting, and if you have any questions, I'm here to answer.
Thank you, Bernie, for the summary. It was a great meeting, and we do have on our agenda a further discussion about the membership fee bylaw.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was a good discussion there. They brought out some good points. I know y'all take it into consideration.
Yeah.
You
Thank
have
you.
A good board.
Good notes. You take good notes.
Well, I could have talked for quite a lot longer, but I got my 3 minutes in. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bernie. I don't think we have any other members here in the room. Mitch is online, but I don't believe he had anything to say, so we'll move on to unfinished business, which we have none. Under new business, this will be a fairly short meeting here. We just have two items. The first is the membership fee bylaw amendment that failed at the annual meeting. We wanted to save some space here to discuss further what the MAC discussed last night. Share a bit about that in your book. We had some notes from the actual meeting that our election company shared with us, some feedback on that amendment issue, and hopefully we can leave this meeting with a plan moving forward, whether or not we're going to abandon this or try again next year. So that's the goal of this agenda item. Thoughts? I trust you all read the book and some of the feedback. It all aligns with what Bernie just said. Just, I think, a general misunderstanding of what the amendment was, what the purpose was, why we needed it, concerns about broad board authority were brought up a few times, affordability issues, a desire for plain language explanations. Any other thoughts that members of the committee have, and Dan, that weren't captured in that?
That's pretty much it.
Mark?
The issue of just how the how it was written, I think all it was is we were elevating the cost for people, new members. No current members would ever be exposed to it. And also the new members would be contributing to the equity of the entity by paying an escalated amount, somewhat, not even to keep up with inflation for the last 80 years or however. So I think it might have been just part of it. It's just, I believe it was poorly worded or confusingly written. People actually thought that if they voted for it, they would be subjected to paying his fees. And then I think it was mentioned a couple of times that, and then the board would just keep raising the fees on them. Well, it would not impact anybody who voted in that election. So maybe that's it. And maybe it's just an overall skepticism about cost containment and cost control.
What role has QGIS played in the past in regards to communicating, either promoting or, I mean, is it in our best interest to promote bylaw amendments at the annual meeting? Do we spend time and resources on that?
Generally not.
Okay.
No, we don't.
Rachel?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a Pandora's box on this one. The largest vote that I've ever had as a board member on expenditures for the company has been close to $1 billion. And that was the acquisition of MLNP. And when I look at these topics that are concerns about broad board authority, like a membership application fee is a one-time fee that is paid once by a new member. And I make votes every board meeting that are in the millions of dollars in terms of the decisions that we make on the expenditures. And so I feel like there's a disconnect between what the board does and what is in the power of the members. If members are concerned about a fee that has been $5 that we talked about, you know, when I talked to people about it, somebody said, well, there's no control over it. The board could just set it to be anything. You know, you should tie it to inflation or you should tie it to some index marker. But, you know, we're a regulated utility. We can't have runaway costs. And the board makes really big decisions that have huge impacts on people's rates on a monthly basis. So this is so interesting. It's like because we put a little spotlight on it and said, hey, this is this thing that we want to change, it like drew all this attention to it. But I mean, look at what we do every month. Like I find it really just mind-blowingly puzzling that this is the reaction to this and not to what we do on a monthly basis. Yes.
I mean, I would not encourage you to go on Facebook, but in general, I think this is just a broad public negative sentiment of mistrust of people in power. So I think it goes beyond this.
Yeah.
And it's more of a cultural thing, but I hear you. Can I circle back to that? I guess, why is it that as an organization, we spend resources, time? I know the bylaws committee, you know, brings forth the amendments, or they originate there, but we do have legal time developing these. Why wouldn't we want to see them pass and put resources behind public, you know, a communications plan on it? I guess if we don't want them to pass, wouldn't we just not, unless they came through a different way? I guess I don't really see the, it seems like we are not following through with our initial investment, but I don't know what others think on that.
Are you asking like why we didn't do more of a please vote yes on, like why we didn't come out with stronger statements?
Right, why we're not posting
about
on Facebook, why we're not saying this is, you know, doing more of a plain English explanation
outreach.
Of what this is, outreach. Why don't we do that more frequently? That's my question.
It's a very fine question.
Director Nordland?
Yeah, sorry, I'm late, by the way. You got started about what?
Minutes before you got
minutes
it.
Yes, let the record show, Director.
And I gather you're just trying to get feedback on the vote.
We're just having a discussion about it and,
okay.
And
okay.
Making, perhaps having a conversation about what we do with this moving forward.
Okay. Well, let me just pitch in and say that I agree with both of which the comments you both made, both in terms of the scale of the decisions that we have to make anyway, and this seems it's kind of frustrating that it didn't pass. I also agree that we probably should have done more to communicate why we're doing it. I will say this, though, that I think that, Rachel, I think that's just the way it is. I don't know what we can do about that.
Yeah.
I think we can do something about the communication. I do think, though, that if we had posed a different question, it may have passed. And the question would have been to say, we want to set the membership fee at a level. What was it? We were going to raise it to 25 or something like that. Have that in the bylaw, and then so that the voters or members know. Okay, so that's the new. That's at least the board is constrained in terms of what we will raise it to. And then, but then put in there to be raised over time by the CPI or some measure of inflation. I predict that if we had posed that question, it might have passed. And I think if we're thinking about maybe doing this again, and we'll talk about this again if we decide to do it again, we can talk that through. But I think that I think we'll be more successful if we use that approach, a little more specificity in what we're planning, what we think is the right thing to do.
Dr. Gage.
I, of course, wasn't on the board when it was moved forward from the committee and decided. I mean, I imagine there's a good reason why we want to update that fee or like a material impact to Jugach, if to the question of do we pursue this again in the future, but I do think a little bit of explanation goes a long way. I think for the other one that did pass, even the sentence of minor grammatical edits throughout was like all someone needed to hear, like, oh, okay, that sounds safe and fine, and so a sentence or something, and I think the recommendations in this analysis are all really good, and I think just a thorough communications plan. People do read the ballots, people look and want to see, and so making sure we're putting out enough that people can understand. And I think we just have to be mindful when we're talking about fees, having a broader view when we have rate cases and other things ongoing and gas, and people's ears are already up. And so knowing that it's something we need to do, is important to do, and communicating about it, I think in a way that is clear. A clarifying question, I should read our bylaws. Is there a way for amendments to move forward to our membership without board support? Can members propose an amendment and get signatures, for example, to move something to
Board support.
Yeah, there's a date by which they have to submit their proposed bylaw recommendations, but then it's supposed to go
through
board
the committee.
Committee process. And ultimately the board holds the end.
Is there, has there been talk at the leadership level about a response to the question of why aren't we investing on comm side when amendments come forward to the bylaws?
It's really an issue. From a public perspective for communications and advocating yes or no on a specific matter?
Yeah, I think if the board today says, hey, we want to try this again, but we want Chugach to be more active in communicating why this is important, is there pushback from your perspective as to why we shouldn't do that?
No, I think we've, in general, we've tried to stay out of the annual election and inserting ourselves into that process. Ideally, really from a board candidate perspective, I think on bylaw changes, have to go back and look and make sure there's nothing legally that would prevent us from doing that. I don't see any problem with that. I think if the board approves of a bylaw change and we want to advance to our membership for approval, I don't see anything wrong with going out further with that communication and putting additional explanation as to why we want to make this change to the bylaws. I think that could go hand in hand, actually. I mean, I think it would be helpful, and it's something that we're giving more information to our membership so that they can make an informed decision. I think that's how we would be approaching it. So,
Director Rogers,
I think given that there's no prohibition against it, it might be nice to try to get two bites at that apple if we plan on doing it again next year, which I think we do. So we could do a post hoc. Like Julie could do an outlet thing and just say, hey, this is the bylaw. We got 59% of the people voted for it. There's 41 that didn't. This is kind of what the whole point is. It doesn't affect current members. It's only for new members. It was $5 in 1947. It's still $5. Mm-hmm. Maybe we just do that much, but just kind of explain the thing so that it makes it easy. And I would say, and this is just, I agree with Jim on this, but slight difference. Given that it's been 80 years since we've dealt with this, I'm willing to just set a number with no inflation adjust or anything else. And in 80 years, if I'm still here, I'll deal with it again.
I mean, I do think we've received enough feedback where we could modify slightly what was proposed last year to respond to members' concerns and like introduce a similar measure. I do think it's interesting to think about the idea of we record candidate statements, we have all these things on the website, but to even have a 30-second or 1-minute video from the bylaw committee chair or from governance explaining that, I think would go a long way to, or a FAQ or one pager. And I also think about my native corporation, the board of directors recommends a yes vote. There are things like that and an endorsement case made for different amendments. It's a little different because amendments can also come from members of the public or other shareholders in a way that we don't have. But I don't think people realize what goes into getting the bylaw on the ballot. Like it's gone through a committee and all these different layers. Like that can be explained as well. But I like the idea of having a little bit more communications and education next year. I think that's an interesting topic, whether it's this or something else. I mean, practicing to have better communication around something that we need 60% of members to vote for.
Is there anyone, it sounds like this conversation is saying that we do want to see this on the ballot again next year, and we should march towards that expectation with the request that not only is it perhaps written differently on the ballot, but also there is a communications plan that goes side by side with it. Think differently on that. Okay. I think your idea is great, though, Dan, to have a postmortem on it, maybe a letter from our chair to the members.
I'll say, we keep talking about communications plan. I don't see this as a Julie problem at all, and I'll just say it straight up front. I think, to be honest with you, I think this is a board problem. I think probably me. I'm the one with the tendency to overcomplicate things, and I think we made it too hard for people to understand. And we almost got there, but yeah, leaving the door open for if people are halfway reading it, the board can just raise prices whenever they want. If that's the conclusion they walk away from, that means that we didn't do a good enough job. The board. So I think we take our lesson, we frame it like Jim or I, or like all of us, I think, are talking about. Keep it really simple. Try to hit the communications twice and give Julie clear direction on it. And I think we'll get it next year. And again, like Rachel says, I almost hate spending this much time talking about it because it's really literally the smallest thing we've dealt with in forever or longer. Since 1948.
Arthur.
I agree 100% with the recommendations to move forward. I think that, you know, it does help build equity over time, and another 50 years goes by, we could have another that much additional equity. I agree 100% too that it is not material each year basis. I would be more than happy to work on our side and put together a proposal for your consideration just as a working draft to start it off. If there's interest in doing that, happy to do so.
Sounds great. Good that we have time. Director Morris.
Yeah, I just have one more comment on this one, which is I want to put a nuance on what I said before. So, yeah, I think this is trivial compared to what we do, but if this is how people feel about something that is $25 as well, like I'd like to know, and maybe when we do our strategic planning later this month, that we talk about the fact that we have bigger decisions that are coming out that will have larger ramifications. And if this is how people feel about a one-time membership fee, we ought to, I'm sure we're rolling with the communications plan, but we ought to give the time needed to talk about the bigger decisions.
It's an important data point. That is true. Thanks. Great. We'll move on to board policy update. continuing our great work of updating our board policies one at a time. Whitney.
Good afternoon. Whitney Wilkson, Associate General Counsel. So we have board policy 604 tonight, which is on board candidate statements. And it's mostly just like housekeeping matters, not really substantive, just updating language and citations to bylaws and things of that nature. So.
Any questions on the red lines or the new, the newly edited board policy 604?
Director Jensen, just a yes. Quick comment. We're going to continue going through the board policies and really going through them in detail to get them updated, make sure that they're at our standards in 2026. We did have gone through them over the last several years and made key updates. Now we're going back through them again. It really is commensurate with the work that we've done, for example, on the bylaws, making the grammatical changes over the last several years. We're doing the same thing with the board policies, actually in our operating policies as well,
yeah,
within the organization. So we hope to have, we hope not to do this one at a time and have more to advance to you at the next governance committee meeting.
Thank you. Any questions for Whitney?
I have a
question. Green.
For the red line under content D, for candidate statements, it says shall not contain, and you added false.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my question is, who's going to fact check it? Mm-hmm. Or is it just trust and then?
There is under section G, it says candidates are responsible for the statements they make. The association reserves the right to verify the accuracy. of any candidate statements. So it is the association who can verify the accuracy, but who within the organization? I don't know if we have an ultimate. I'm sure it's a combination of the people.
Okay. Because I was like, all right, if you provide your statement, and I feel like a lot of the statement is your experience, your qualifications, like, would there be some expectation that people then supplement with their resume to verify?
So
and then on, I mean, if you state your general policy positions.
We did consider whether or not to add more information in here about what happens if we do make a preliminary determination that the statement is inaccurate. We decided to keep that part out so that we have more options to work with within the organization. But one of those examples would include returning the statement to the candidate, identifying what we believe is an inaccuracy, and giving them so many days to respond or correct it. So,
okay.
Good option.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes. Thank you. There isn't anything that we would put in that would then say, like, we won't publish derogatory, like, you don't feel like you need some other level of, like, I understand why you want to be silent on the process, but, like, is there a need to put in a result, like, we won't publish candidate statements that are derogatory or false or, like...
I think that the way that the policy is written now gives us the room, the ability to do that,
to
and that,
that
it should be evaluated probably on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. Good question. Okay, Siri, seeing no other questions on this, there is a motion.
Oh, I have one more question.
I
assume when we put child, do we mean child living in the household?
That's a good...
Not my 23-year-old daughter, right? Almost have no financial connection.
Almost.
23? Wow. I mean, the way this is written is to be consistent with the bylaws, and I don't know if the bylaws defines child in more depth other than, like, minor child, if that's something that we want to consider refining.
I don't have the language of the policy in front of me, but the bylaw always limits it to someone who's financially interdependent upon.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
If it's a child that's not financially interdependent upon, it wouldn't conflict with. And the policy itself can't add disqualifying factors beyond what the bylaw already has. So everything in that policy should be more interpretational and adding additional detail to help enforce the laws.
Okay, so I'll read the definition in the bylaw.
Director Nolan. It's this person living in.
Okay, great.
Yep.
So I think this is a good change. I'm just curious to know if there's been example recently this year, last year, or whatever, when a candidate has made...
Not to my... I don't
Julie,
think...
Julie's shaking her head.
Not to my knowledge.
I've had no issues in the 10 years I've been here.
Okay. But still, it still could happen, so it's not a bad idea.
Okay, if there's no other questions, I'll look for a motion to approve the updated Board Policy 604.
I move that the Governance Committee recommend the Chugach Electric Association Board of Directors approve the modifications to Board Policy 604, Board Candidate Statements, as identified in Attachment 2.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great, motion passes. Thank you. Thank you, Whitney.
Welcome.
Next, we have director comments. I would suggest that we hold our comments until the operations committee meeting, and that moves us towards adjournment. I'll look for a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Do we need to elect vice chairs this meeting? Do the committees?
Do we need to what?
Elect vice chair.
Oh.
Vice chairs to the committees at all of the committees.
This is the first one, right?
Right. Okay.
Good memory.
Thank you.
No.
That's okay. Great. I am the chair. Jim, Penny, Rachel, and Mark, we won't make you chair this committee. So, Rachel, Penny, Jim, who wants it? Penny or Jim?
Mm-hmm.
I plan on making all the meetings, so.
I'm happy to serve as vice chair.
Thank you, Penny.
I'll nominate Penny.
Sarah, I believe I can just appoint you.
It's a vote, right?
It's a vote.
I think it's a, remind me.
It's a vote.
Is it a vote or a name selected?
The officers are supposed to be elected by.
Okay.
Got it. Okay.
So.
Thank you. All right. Penny has been nominated. I have heard no other nominations, so we will vote on Penny's nomination to be vice chair of governance committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Director Gage. Thank you, Director Morris, for keeping us on track. We have an open motion and a second to adjourn. We are adjourned. Thank you.